Summer or winter, he's the voice of sport in Aotearoa. This is Mornings with Ian Smith on SENZ.
Well, the Masters is done and dusted, and Scotty Scheffler has his second green jacket. And you might have thought that most of the big-name players would take the week off just to unwind a wee bit, the pressure of playing in such a prestigious event. But no, that is not the case, because there's a really big one starting this weekend. It's called the RBC Heritage. It is worth $20 million, probably one of the reasons they're all lining up. It's at Harbour Town Links on the Hilton Head Island. It's a very recognisable course. And the defending champion is Matthew Fitzpatrick from England. To find out more about this tournament, its prestigious status, and the reason why so many big players turn up just days after the Masters, we've got to go to David Bileski, of course, our regular. David's at Deep Dive Golf, Deep Dive Golf on Twitter. You get so much great information from David. Hey, David, good morning to you. Thanks again for being available to us. The RBC Heritage, tell us about how you qualify to get into that.
Good morning, Smithy. Yeah, thanks for the introduction. Look, it's a elite field, so it's one of the signature events on the PGA Tour. So there's 69 players in the field this week, so it's a very, very small field. There's no cut. As you mentioned, there's a hugely elevated prize purse, and it's based on the FedEx Cup rankings the previous year. And there's a couple of ways that you can qualify throughout the year. Winning tournament is one of them, and then how you played in the previous few tournaments before the next six. Event is another way to make your way in, but it's certainly a very condensed field, and as you mentioned, a tournament with a lot of prestige and legacy as well. The iconic lighthouse, obviously, on the 18th hole, but a really interesting course for the players this week.
Is it a unique course in terms of the PGA, or can we liken it to many others?
It is pretty unique. I mean, it's polar opposite to what we had last week at Augusta National. Augusta, you can just you can spray it off the tee pretty readily. You've got driver in hand most of the time. It's a really long golf course, and Harbour Town Golf Links, it's a Pete Dye design, kind of a complete U-turn on what you've just had at Augusta National. The greens are very small. They're only 3,700 square feet on average. They're heavily bunkered. Accuracy is really important. There's to the point where you're not only just trying to find narrow fairways, but there's a lot of overhanging trees on the course as well. So not only are you trying to find the fairway, you're trying to find the right side of the fairway to make sure that you've got your approach into the green from the correct angle. Around the green game is really important, just given the size of those very small greens. And another unique aspect is in terms of the distances where players are hitting their iron shots. Typically on a PGA Tour tournament at any sort of standard golf course, you'd expect maybe 4.5 to 5 shots over 200 yards, and that's a result of obviously par fives going for those two, and then sometimes a couple of par threes. At Harbour Town, there's only on average 2 shots within that range over 200 yards, and there's generally only one shot under 100 yards. So you've got a massive uptick in the number of shots between that 100 to 200 yard bracket, and that's a result of a lot of players basically having driver taken out of their hands, having to lay up, pull back a little bit in terms of distance. They all play from a similar kind of spot, and that sees, you know, upwards of 9 sort of shots, particularly from 150 to 200 yards, and then 6 between sort of 100 to 150 yards. So that's kind of the key range that the players are going to be hitting their second shot, and it really kind of condenses down where those players have to hit from. There's a couple of courses that I could compare it to. There's many other Pete Dye designs. He's a very popular designer on the PGA Tour, perhaps the most recognised. He was the designer behind TPC Sawgrass. I probably prefer a couple others that he's had a hand in, although I'm not going to knock anyone if they played well at the Players, because I think it's somewhat correlated. But you could look at Sedgefield Country Club, which is host of the Wyndham. He had a hand in designing that. TPC River Highlands, another golf course where driving accuracy is a really important factor, and it kind of has similar approach buckets as what you'd expect at Harbour Town. Then Austin Country Club is another Pete Dye design. It's where the match play used to be held until that event got canned, sadly. So a bit very similar in terms of the approach metrics, small greens, finding the accuracy off the tee is a good guide as well. So basically that's the recipe for success. And if you wanted to go outside the Pete Dye Designs courses like Seaside, the RSM Classic, also Coastal Golf Course, again, quite fiddly, and Wailai Country Club hosts Sony Open, another oceanside golf course, really tiny greens. Ad timing actually is very important, and another tree-lined course by the ocean as well.
A lot made of the elements in the recently completed Masters. In fact, very windy at times, which you know, the commentators were saying, and I don't know how much they inflate the level of the breeze, etc. But certainly, it was a factor there. Well, could it be a factor here?
Look, the weather conditions look to be okay so far this week. I mean, I take the name of Harbour Town Golf Links with a big pinch of salt, because I cover the DP World Tour as well, and it's not a links golf course. I mean, it's had the links name slapped on it, but it's not a links golf course. And there is a bit of tree line fairways to kind of protect some of the tee balls. I'm not seeing too much in terms of wind at the moment. There's a couple of thunderstorm possibilities perhaps Saturday afternoon, but given the condensed size of the field, I don't think that there's really going to be any advantage of when you go out in terms of the weather, and just given that there's only 69 players, they should be able to get this all done by Sunday. So I don't think it'll be as much of the factor as last week, but I would say in terms of the weather last week, it was extremely windy. We kind of predicted that there wouldn't be a start to play for a few hours. They actually got out a little bit earlier than we thought they might, given the weather. But yeah, the greens in particular were probably the fastest they've ever seen them at Augusta National, and I think that was perhaps a result of the winds whipping up, and then they've got the sub-air systems under the greens at Augusta and able to dry those out. So they were extremely, extremely fast by the end of that tournament.
David, do you see a bit of Scheffler phobia developing amongst the players? Because Scotty played well, there's absolutely no doubt about it, but it was only really when it came to the crunch, Ludvig Åberg, who hasn't been at a major before, he hasn't been around Scotty Scheffler much, who appeared to be a threat when push came to shove. Do you think that they look at the top of the scoreboard and saying, oh, Scotty again, a little bit like they used to say, here comes Tiger?
Yeah, it's getting to that stage. I think it really is. Yeah, I think the word that I've heard the most this week about Scotty Scheffler's win is inevitable, and I think that does a discredit to the performance that he put in, because I mean, you would know this yourself, Spitty, being a professional sportsman in your day, that you've still got to go out and win the thing, you know. And the fact that he came down the stretch and was so just on fire on those last nine holes, shot minus five on a course that was playing three or four shots over par, was absolutely unbelievable. So the word I would use wasn't inevitable. I think it was clinical. It was absolutely clinical from Scotty Scheffler. The course management, I think, is really key for him. The scary thing is that now he's combining his ball striking with finding a hot putter and really starting to putt well. And I guess I would say as well about his ball striking is, like, he didn't actually have his best approach game, and by his own admission said that as well, that I don't think he was actually ball striking at his full clip at Augusta National, which is quite scary. So, yeah, I think that everyone would be quite worried in any field that he tees it up in. I'd say about Ludvig, I mean, what a performance from that man, not only his first Masters, but his first major altogether, and he just comes out and finishes second, three shots off third place. What a performance from him. He's an extreme talent, and looked for a little bit there with about 10 holes to go. I mean, there was four of them tied for the lead at one point. It looked like it was really going to tighten up and get pretty close coming down the stretch. And Scheffler just put his foot down and just ran away with it, which was very, very impressive to see. But Åberg, he showed that he could tangle it with the best. I think he'll be a factor in many, many more majors to come. I think we're at a point with him where it wouldn't surprise me if he goes out, wins a major, and kind of the Ludvig mania kicks off in earnest.
Right, let's look at the field for this week then. And yes, he's there again. Scotty's lining up at local market. He's got his five, basically. And next on the betting line is Xander Schauffele, who to me just doesn't appear to have in a big matches, big match temperament to go on and get the job done, but he's always going to make a lot of money. And then we have Oberg himself at 14. After that, interesting in the field, defending champion Mats Fitzpatrick, who had a mixed Masters, he's at 29, and Jordan Spieth, who was runner-up last year, almost won it, actually, at 36. How are we looking this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I'd like to speak about with Scheffler is actually his better half, Meredith, who's back home and about to give birth to their first son. And so, I mean, they were even asking during the press conference at the Masters on Sunday, where many people expected him, of course, to be a factor coming down the stretch, if he would go home if he got the phone call, and he said he would. So I think that the risk with Scotty Scheffler this week is perhaps even higher, that there's a chance he doesn't actually see through the whole tournament. I've no doubt that he will could be heading home on his private jet as soon as he gets the phone call. And Meredith isn't due for another sort of 10 to 12 days, but you know, with those things that I'm pretty good at predicting golf, but you know, the intricacies of when childbirth might be induced is slightly beyond me. So what I'd say is it's probably a week that you can look to take him on, just because of that risk of he doesn't actually go through and see out the tournament. Jordan Spieth's a really interesting one. If I can touch on him briefly, he's got an amazing record here. He won here in 2022. Last year he went very close to Matt Fitzpatrick, finished runner-up in the end, but last year he did that off the back of a missed cut of the Masters as well. So I think that he's an interesting name. It's really hard to put where his game is at the moment, because it's all over the place. Sometimes it's his irons that are performing badly, sometimes it's his putter, sometimes it's his chipping, and it's not just one thing that he's really working on. It seems to be like dispersing itself across all elements of his game. So he's intriguing. He's the kind of guy who could show up at something like this at a course he loves and suddenly pop up, and it's like, oh yeah, of course, like Jordan Spieth, he won in 2022 and was runner up the year after. Yeah, of course he's a factor this week, so he's one to keep in mind. But the one I would actually like to talk about, and my favourite at the top of the board, is Tommy Fleetwood, who hasn't won a tournament on the PGA Tour, but is a prolific winner on the DP World Tour. He ran earlier this year at the Dubai Invitational that was played at the Dubai Creek Golf and Resort. And that is a really tricky kind of fiddly golf course, not tree lined like Harbour Town, but asks similar enough questions just in a different way, because there is quite a bit of water there, and it was a bit more of a positional golf course. So he beat Rory McIlroy in that tournament there. His last two starts, he was seventh at the Texas Open, he was third last week at the Masters. And What I liked about his performance at the Masters coming in here is that he was never really in the thick of it. I mean, he was there or thereabouts, but it was kind of a Xander Schauffele performance of like he kind of stuck around and finished in the top three. So he wasn't really in the heat of battle, and so I don't think he's going to be carrying too much fatigue as some of these names might after a very, very big week at Augusta National. He's one of the best around the green. We know that's really key at Harbour Town. Very, very good short game, very good putter as well, and particularly strong on those key irons that I mentioned between 100 to 200 yards. Driving actually is no concern for him either. He tends to be more accurate than he is long off the tee. So I think he's an interesting name. You can find him at the TAB at 19s at the moment.
Okay, right. Let's also look at maybe something just a little bit left field. I mean, there's some terrific players missed playing at the weekend last weekend because they just couldn't get it right in those conditions, and honestly, but there are some players backing up here who you know are capable of a quick turnaround. A Wyndham Clark, for instance, is in the field. That's the kind of player. Nikolai Højgaard, who was floating around for quite some time, is in the mix as well. So, but they're not high in terms of the chances.
Yeah, and I mean, look, what I'd say, I guess, with both of them is this, they're two of the longest drivers on the PGA Tour, and the question mark comes with them is is this golf course just actually going to take their strongest asset out of their hands and mean that they're missing one of the biggest tools in their toolkit, which is their kind of prodigious driving distance? So that'd be the question for both of them. I mean, Wyndham has sort of answered it in the fact that he won the Pebble Beach, which is in some ways similar to Harbour Town. You've got, obviously the massive cliff faces at Pebble Beach, so all the players kind of have to lay up to one similar distance and then hit from there. And then he finished second at the Players' Championship at Pete Dye, so I wouldn't completely rule out his chances. Nicolai Højgaard, I think he can be pretty inaccurate off the tee. I think he probably prefers somewhere where he can rip into the driver a little bit more than here. But, I mean, looking further down the board, a couple of names that you could look at, particularly in top 20 markets, that are good value would be Lucas Glover, Harris English, and Corey Connors. So Corey Connors, in this field, he's third in approach from 150 to 200 yards this year. So it's a really key range for him. He's only behind Scotty Scheffler and Will Zalatoris within that range. A very accurate driver off the tee. And what I like with Connors is typically the weak element of his game is his putter and his around the green game. His around the green game has really improved. He's basically been level with the field in all of his recent tournaments, and he's now gained with the putter in two of his last three tournaments, including at the Masters on those very tricky greens that I mentioned. So I think he's an interesting option further down the board. You can get him at the TAB for a top 20 around the $2.20 mark. Lucas Glover, so Corey Connors between 150 to 200 yards was third in this field. Lucas Glover's actually fourth, and he's also very strong from 100 to 150 yards. Again, he started to turn it around with the putter, which is always the thing that you're looking for Lucas Glover. It's kind of similar mold to Corey Connors, very accurate driver, excellent approach, can struggle with the putter, but again, he gained nearly four strokes putting at the Masters on very tough greens, finished 20th there, and he's a previous winner at Sedgefield, the Wyndham Championship, which another Pete Dye design in a similar enough course. And then Harris English, he looks to have really turned a corner. I think a lot of people are sleeping on him at the moment. He's been a factor in majors, particularly at the US Open previously. Finished 22nd last week at the Masters, but outside of missed cut at the Texas Open, he's had five out of six finishes 22nd or better, and that's included 7th at the Genesis and 19th at the Players. He's a winner at TPC River Highlands, which is another Pete Dye design, and he has an 8th here previously as well. So with Harris English, he's one of the best on the PGA Tour with his short game. Excellent putter, very, very good around the greens, very good with his driving accuracy, no worries about his irons, and this probably suits him better than any of the last six places that he's played recently, and he's racked up 22nd finishes or better. So you can get him at the TAB for $2.88 for a top 20. So do like that number for him to continue the hot run of form at a course that I think suits him better than the other stops.
David Bilesky, as always, absolutely fantastic to get your background on the course and the field for this week's RBC Heritage. $20 million up for grabs, but you can make plenty yourself by following David Bilesky and Deep Dive Golf on Twitter. That's where you find him, Deep Dive Golf on Twitter, and you'll get all the information you need, and you will also get all the all the hot tips, and perhaps just looking outside the square a wee bit from time to time, which David is so damn good at with his research. Hey, David, thank you very much, and we'll be in touch again very shortly. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, Manny.